Okay, good evening. Thank you very much for coming to this information session, which is about the consultation paper we have issued that was back in June, and it's about the proposed changes we're going to do on the CBA qualifying process. Before I start, perhaps I introduce myself and a couple of my staff who are here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm the Executive Director of Hong Kong ICPA. My job is really to oversee the qualification and the education aspect of the institute. And obviously, QP falls within my remit. Next to me is Ms. Janice Choi. She's the Education Director. She assists me to look after the operation aspects of the QP. I also like to introduce a very important person to the audience here. We have the chairman of the examination board, Mr. Richard Zhe, here. And thank you for coming, Richard. And this information session is going to take around 1.5 hours. That will be comprised of two parts. The first part is about presentation, which I've already put up PowerPoint slides. And I thought it would be useful for me to go through slide by slide to highlight some of the key points, which obviously, if you read the consultation paper, you're most welcome to get a copy, which we have a part at the back of the room. I would like to use the PowerPoint slides to highlight the key points and also to explain to you those changes and also the rationale behind those changes. And then we move on to the second part of the this session, and that will be a Q&A, and I will open up the floor. As I said before, you're welcome to use your language. You know, if you want to use Cantonese, you know, feel free to do so. But in my presentation, right, I will do that in English because we have non-Cantonese speakers here with us. All right, okay. So without further ado, if I may, I would like to start the presentation. As you can see, we have quite a tight agenda here, and all these bullet points they are the structure of the consultation paper. You look at that, you start off with the introduction, explain to you what the current QP is, and then we move on to talk about the objectives of the reform, and give an overview of the new QP, and then move on to the nitty-gritty like the competence blueprint, entrance requirements, prior experience, what is the structure now, and most importantly, the transition arrangements, how we're going to accommodate students who are now in the current system, how they can move smoothly from the current system to the new system. I thought it would be useful if I start off to give an overview of the accountancy profession. And after all, Hong Kong ICPA is all about accountancy profession. The Hong Kong ICPA is set up more than 40 years ago. And right now we have more than 40,000 members. To us is a very significant milestone, exceeding the benchmark of 40,000. And we have now got about 18,000 students on the student register. In other words, they're in the pipeline to become a CPA one day. You might not realize, for some of you, that Hong Kong ICPA actually have a fully owned subsidiary called the Hong Kong IAAT. This is another setup, if you like, to offer a mid-tier destination. The CPA Certified Public Accountant, it's what we call the top-tier qualification, which enables people to hold themselves as professional accountants, and should they get the PC certificate, then they can even perform audit reports and sign audit reports. However, we also recognize that there is a mid-tier destination, and therefore for the past 25 years, the AAT board offers this qualification called the AAT to students who aspire to become an AAT, not necessarily to become a CPA, but to get a qualification at that sort of mid-tier level. And over the years, we have accumulated more than 1,000 members and 2,600 plus students. This slide is to explain to you the existing entry routes to the QP, and as you can see, there are actually three entry routes. The mainstream is on the left-hand side, the leftmost one, which is the accounting degree holders. These are the students who have completed an accountancy degree in a program accredited by the institute. And because of the accreditation, we are assured of the quality of the program and also making sure that they have fulfilled what we call the prerequisites before they can come on to QP. So that's the mainstream, and that accounts nearly about 80% of students coming into QP. We also have non-accounting degree holders, i.e. these are people who have completed the degree program, but they have not done accounting. They do business-related subjects, or even to do something totally different, like engineering or music. The institute provide an avenue for students coming from that background. If they want to be a CPA, they can still be a CPA. The only problem is they don't have the technical knowledge at that stage. That's the reason why they have to do a conversion program. Conversion program by definitely means you convert them. You know, that the only difference is, you know, they lack the technical knowledge, and there's a gap we need to fill in. So by completing conversion program, which we always accredit, then we are sure that they have the foundation knowledge. Why do we need to do that? Because when they move on to QP, we don't start from scratch. We build on what they have learned in the university, and also the basic accounting knowledge. The rightmost one is called the AAT route. This is actually a vocational route. And as I explained in the previous slide, there is the AAT qualification. Students have to do 8 papers, AAT papers. Completing that AAT papers, if we use the terminology nowadays, they are equivalent to a sub-degree holder. They're not yet a degree holder. And that's the reason why they have to do a professional bridging examination, which is currently we have 4 PBE papers. And by completing the 4 professional bridging examination, then they bridge themselves to be what we call degree equivalent. If they bridge themselves to be degree equivalent, then they are on par with the degree holders. That's how they can get onto the QP. This is not the mainstream, but nevertheless, it takes a very important role because, as I said, there are some students taking this route because they just want to be an AAT. But some of them also want to aspire to do something more, then they can take on the PBE and become a QP student to achieve what they want to do, a CPA qualification. So that's sort of explained to you the entry routes. The current structure of the QP is what we call the 4+1. 4 means the 4 technical modules. Each of the module has 2 full-day workshops. Each of the module has a module examination, which is open book. You have to complete all the 4 modules before you can go on to the final examination. Reason being, the final examination is an integrated paper. It will test on all the things you've learned in the previous 4 modules. Without that knowledge, you are not able to handle the final examination. And right now, the final examination is split into 2 sessions, 3.5 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the afternoon. You probably realize that. And again, this is the open book. The reason we do open book because we want to encourage people to do away rote learning. You know, we want them to sort of apply the things that they learn in a case-based scenario. All right, so that's just sort of give you an idea of what we are now, so that when I explain to you what we're going to do, you can see the comparison. 6th long range plan. It's important to highlight this 6th long range plan because when we do this reform, it doesn't come out from nowhere. You know, it's actually mentioned very clearly in the 6th long range plan. And that 6th long range plan was issued back in October 2013. And just like all the long range plan, it defines very clearly what are the areas the institute would like to put the resources in and how they want to project themselves in terms of the directions. And there's very one important pillar. Actually, there are total 7 pillars. But for today, I think the only pillar that is relevant is the qualification and education. That's why I highlight this pillar to you. It mentions very clearly about the mission statement or what we want to achieve. So whatever we do, we want to make sure that our qualification is premier, internationally recognized destination. And to do that, the long-range plan also highlight what we call the action points, or the things we believe we need to do in order to achieve that objective. And we split, or we divide, the qualification into two stages, what we call the pre-qualification, i.e. somebody who has not yet attained the CPA, but they need to do what we call the QP, or qualifying process, and they have to complete that process before they become a CPA. But the journey don't stop there. Actually, the journey starts a new page when they become a CPA, and then they move on to what we call the post-qualification development. Today, we are more focused on the pre-qualification rather than post-qualification, but I think sufficient enough to tell you that actually the long-range plan, we mentioned these three bullet points to explain to the members, we take care of the whole journey from what we call the cradle to grave. The pre-qualification, there are two bullet points. One is on the quality of QP. The other one is on the relevance of AAT. Quality of AAP, I think, is self-explanatory. It's always our aspiration, and in fact, it's our responsibility to ensure that the qualification program, maintains a very high standard, and is on par with the other professional accounting qualifications. And that's is important, because if we want to maintain the international recognition that we are enjoying now. The second point is about AAT qualification, because I'm not sure whether you realize in the last decade there has been significant changes in the education landscape in Hong Kong. What I mean is you've got a lot more university coming up. You also have a lot of what we call the associate degree, sub-degree, top degree, whatnot. There's a lot of different types and forms of programs to enable students from different backgrounds to achieve something. I mean, that's the Hong Kong government objective, is to ensure everybody have a chance to acquire certain things and to do something wonderful. And that's the reason why they have this. But the implication to us is the current AAT route that we are offering has become not popular, not surprisingly, because now we are competing with a lot more choices when the student can choose to do other things. And that's the reason why in the long-range plan, we want to think about how we're going to rationalize this process. So that's put it into our what we call the reform. When we talk about this project, we don't do it on our own. This is a very big project for obvious reason. We have engaged independent consultants, and there are two consultants involved in the project. And in 2014, we have the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Scotland. We call them ICAS. ICAS had performed a very detailed review on the whole QP and also the qualifying process. And basically, it's kind of like what we call a gap analysis, if you like. They look at what we've done. There's a full report. The report tells us things we do well, things we could do better. So with all sorts of recommendations. And this report goes straight to the examination board and then eventually to council. But what ICAS had done basically is a very honest, report on the things they have found, some of the good things, some of the not so good things. But to actually to carry out the action points, to fix what we call the areas or to further improve our system, it's not done by ICAS. It's actually done by another consultant, and we had a tender at that time, and Deloitte happened to be the winner on that tender. So Deloitte helped us to pick on the report from ICAS and then further design what we call a very important document, the blueprint. The blueprint is kind of like a roadmap. It tells us exactly how we define the competencies that we want to train up our future accountants. And that's the phase one, because you need to know what you want to do first before you actually do, explain how you can do it. So that's why you can see the logic. You've got the phase one first, and then the phase two is to, based on that blueprint, then they come up with the design on the workshop and the practical experience. So that's the how we involve the consultants. And in my consultation paper, I also explain about the objectives of reform, because I thought lots of stakeholders would also want to know, why the change. That's a very natural question. Obviously, we don't change for the sake of change. There must be a reason for the change. And I guess there are a couple of points we can look at that from different perspective. First of all, I'd like to give you a bit of background. Is QP was launched back in 1999. Some of you long enough here. In fact, some of you are actually very involved in QP, being our facilitators or markers. You should know that QP was launched back in 1999. And then it was enhanced in 2010. And now what I'm trying to tell you is this is an evolution. We don't stop. We cannot stop, basically. It's ongoing process. We keep evolving, and we want to become better and better. So from the original, what we call the first version of QP, to what we call the enhanced version of QP in 2010, now we're moving on to what we call the third version, if you like. It's just like an iPhone, you keep improving from iPhone 1 to iPhone 7 and whatnot. It goes on and on and on. So it should not be too surprising that every 7 or to 10 years, it's all the time that we need to take a very serious look at the current QP offering and then revamp it. The first bullet point is basically to echo what the Institute stands for. Institute is a statutory body, right? By definition, it's our job to train future accountants. By definition, it's also our job to oversee the entire accountancy profession. So that's the reason why we feel important that we have to hold ourselves out and look after the whole profession, including CPA and also AAT. The other point is about aligning the international standards and best practice. International standards is keep evolving. You never stop. And we talk about international education standards here. It's important that we align with that, because that was issued by IFAC, and we are also a member of IFAC. Best practice, we are also a member of the GAA, Global Accounting Alliance, and we can see our counterparts are doing a lot of good stuff. And when we compare with them, we also see there are areas that we can also learn from them and put the best practice into our current model. Certain standard and quality, obviously, is very important, because this